Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Enyart Live. My name is Brian Rohrbaugh, and I'm setting in for Bob today. Bob is working on his Focus on the Strategy seminar coming up this Saturday in Indy. And if you have a chance, you live anywheres near that, it is well worth your time to go to it. It's one of the most impressive, eye-opening seminars that I've ever seen. And you can go to kgov.com and find out all the information, including the map of how to get there. And it's not too late to register. That's coming up this Saturday. Today in studio with me is Rich Petrone. Hi, Rich.
Hi, Brian. I'm glad to be here today.
Last time we were together was right before school started, and that was August sometime. And today we're going to talk about some of the tragedies in the news.
Yeah, like Brian said, last time I was on the show with Brian, we were talking about first day of schools are coming up and how for some kids it would be exciting and for some it was going to be a terror. Well, unfortunately, it turned out to be a terror already. Over in Jacksboro, Tennessee, a 15-year-old shot his assistant principal to death and he wounded two other administrators. So we've already had, you know, a tragedy there. Fortunately, I mean, it sounds sad to say, but no children were killed. But for that poor principal that got killed, you know, it's like it's not good for his family or anybody else. But the sad thing about it, this kid had some issues. He already, one of the principals that he wounded, he had a problem with him when he was in the middle school. He stabbed the one assistant principal in the hand with a pencil.
Now, this is pretty common with school shootings. And for those of you in the audience who aren't familiar with Rich and I, my son Dan was murdered at Columbine High School April 20th, 1999. And Rich is married to my former wife and was also a father to Dan. And so he's sitting here joining me, both of us, in the role of a father and parent of a son who died at a school shooting. So we know the terror. And when we saw the news coverage of this and we saw the parents standing outside the school and the horrified looks and the disbelief that this was happening in their community, of course, we remembered exactly what it was like for us. And so how many school shootings have there been? Most people I talk to, they think about Columbine as the worst, and maybe there's been a few others. But that's not really true, is it, Rich?
No, since Columbine, there's been over 30 school shootings throughout the world. I mean, the majority of them here in the United States.
Right. And then total school shootings, we have the numbers aren't crystal clear depending on what source, but there's about 60 school shootings total. And the death toll is staggering, and the people injured is just staggering. 21 have died since Columbine. 52 dead for sure, and maybe as many as 60, and I say that because some of the news sources have a contradiction between that. At least 110 have been injured in school shootings. And yet every community thinks it can't happen to them, and sadly and tragically it does. But what we've learned firsthand is there's always a mountain of evidence surrounding these school shootings. Long before they happen, there's warnings, there's a lot of information that leads to them, and yet they keep happening. And just the other day in the Denver Post, there was an article from Wednesday, November 16th, on the court backs release of items seized in the Columbine case. Now, I'm somewhat familiar with this case. The Jefferson County Sheriff's had recovered into evidence a bunch of items seized from the Klebolds and Harris homes. Those included videotapes where they talked about their plans, they showed their arsenal of weapons, they talked about their philosophies. and then their writings and some notes their parents kept and a whole bunch of information that tells what was going on in their homes. It sheds a great deal of light on both law enforcement, on the school system, and on those two households. Well, Jefferson County years ago cut a deal with Time Magazine, and they showed them that information. And then after it became public, Rich and I got to view it along with the other family members who wanted to, and we got to review everything. And then Jefferson County went back to court trying to say that these items belonged to the Klebolds and Harrises. In other words, Jefferson County had a partnership with the Klebolds and Harrises to try to keep this from being released. Well, years later, once again, Supreme Court has said release it, and it appears now as the sheriff over in Jefferson County is not going to release it. And I was reading this article, and one of the people they talked to made this statement. The public will learn what was going on in the homes of Klebold and Harris. They will learn of the warning signs that were known to officials, he said. And they will learn something about the interaction between law enforcement and those two families prior to Columbine. Well, that sounds familiar. Oh, yeah, well, that was my quote. I guess that's why it sounds familiar. But that's exactly true. Rich and I have seen more evidence regarding Columbine than probably any other person around, because we've had access to documents that have been ordered sealed by a federal court, documents that should not be sealed, but they are, and as well as these videotapes. And the videotapes, well, they're chilling. You have Klebold and Harris sitting in their homes drinking. Well, they're teenagers. Maybe that doesn't shock you. But lots of containers of alcohol, open and closed, in both their homes. And yet, no one was ever charged with providing them alcohol. Neither of them were old enough to buy.
And let's not forget one thing, Brian. Why they were videoing themselves with this alcohol, they were on the diversion program with Jefferson County, which if you have alcohol, that would have violated the terms of their diversion program, and they would have then have been prosecuted instead of the opportunity of the diversion.
Right. And in this case, I can absolutely state for sure the police know who provided the alcohol. I know who provided it, but I can't tell you because of a court order. But they knew, and they didn't charge this person. And then on the flip side of that, you had Wayne Harris, who many people said helped his son with the pipe bombs and helped his son detonate them. And yet there were never any charges there. In fact, Jefferson County for years covered up that fact. They made violent videotapes that were in fact shown in the school. They wrote violent writings talking about the joys of murdering people, and those were graded. And in one of the papers that we forced released through Freedom of Information in the courts, they released it but without a grade. And it took another couple years. When we finally got it and saw how they graded it, it got an A-, the joy of murdering innocent people. The school systems teach this philosophy. And the philosophy says you have the right to make up your own mind whatever is right for you. So anything goes. Whatever feels right to you, it's your decision. And then they teach you come from the slime through evolution, so you are slime, so you might as well behave like slime. So there's no absolute right or wrong. There's absolutely nothing taught in the school that lets them condemn the very school shootings that they say they're so worried about. And then when there's tremendous information that could be learned from Columbine that would shed light in prevention of school shootings, they cover it up because it shows the corruption in Jefferson County.
You're absolutely correct. And the biggest common denominator, we've talked to other people that have had the same tragedy that we've had, where your child's murdered at school. And same thing, you know, in their neighborhoods and their communities, you know, everything's on the hush-hush. You know, they try to keep it covered because they're embarrassed because the school and law enforcement aren't doing their job and the parents. And when I was doing my research for this show, the thing that really shocked me, I don't know why it shouldn't have shocked me, but you know, every once in a while you get a shock, is the comments afterwards are always the same. I can't believe this happened to us. I can't believe it happened in our community. Oh, those poor parents. It's such a tragedy for them, and that's the parents of the murderers. You know, they make them a victim.
That's right. They make excuses for the murderers, so that it's always someone else's fault, and then they hate the victims, and they hate the victims' families, and they treat them as if they're the ones who caused the crime. We've experienced it firsthand, and I guarantee you the other school shootings have experienced the same thing. And by the way, if you'd like to call in and talk to us, the number here is 1-800-8-NYART, which is 1-800-8-369-278. So when we talk about right and wrong, we would talk about absolute right and wrong. So how do we know what is absolute right and wrong? Well, it's really very simple. My opinion doesn't matter. Rich's opinion doesn't matter. The creator of us and of this universe, God, made the rules, and he gave us the laws to live by for our own benefit, to prevent us from hurting ourselves and others. Simple laws, thou shalt not murder. That law, of course, applies here, but in our liberal school system, that law is outdated. In fact, everything to do with God is illegal. And in this country, we've replaced the gospel of Jesus Christ with the Supreme Court rulings. And so we have the blood of innocent children shed minute by minute through abortion. We have a failed pro-life policy of trying to change the laws through using courts that don't care about right or wrong, and they use precedent. And last week, Bob had a guy on the show who's a pro-life leader, and he was talking about how precedent in the courts is important so that businesses and individuals know where they stand. Well, that's a ridiculous statement. Precedent means you don't know where you stand. All they have to do is look for a bad ruling, and the courts can and do anything they want to. And an example, of course, is abortion. But what about when they said, when the Supreme Court said, and it's endorsed by the Constitution, that it's okay for a white man to own a black man? Now, they said that, and the court upheld it, and they said it was the law of the land. Everything we hear around abortion. But it was wrong. And just like slavery, abortion is always wrong. But we live in a broken system, and all too often we trade the gospel of Christ for looking at some legal opinion or hoping someone like John Roberts is going to do the right thing when there's a mountain of evidence that says there's not a chance he's going to do the right thing.
Well, and it all comes back to us as Christians, and I believe a lot of it is there's the nicer-than-God Christians out there that don't want to shake the water, rock the boat. They just want to go through life and keep their focus away from the issues because they don't want to upset anybody. But that's our job. You know, as Christians, we need to be out there, and we need to stand up for ourselves, and we're not, and we're not standing up for the most innocent of our society.
Right, with the exception of the Catholic Church, who single-handedly has been the only one who has kept abortion as a issue and talked about it consistently and have always led the way, we have failed. Most churches are scared to talk about abortion. They don't want to deal with this issue. And we came here today to talk about school shootings, and we're going to be doing a show tomorrow on these same topics. But you can't talk about school shootings without looking at the issue of abortion, because when we teach the kids in our country that the most vulnerable, the most precious, the ones that should be highest protected can be murdered for any kind of a whim, for any reason, then of course we undermine stability in this society. And what we're saying is no human life is worth anything, but the most innocent, the most precious, the most vulnerable are worth the least. And that's just tragic. But that's why we've got to the point that we've gotten to. And, you know, should a Christian have their kids in a government school? I've talked about this many times, and the answer is no. And why shouldn't they? Because you should protect your children and teach them the way of the Lord. You should put them in a Christian school. You should not socialize with the devil under this premise of socialization. You should not let your kids buy into the worldly trends of sex out of marriage, which is a major cause of abortion. You should not let your daughters be used by the young men and sometimes older men, as we've seen tragically in this latest case in the news, where an 18-year-old was secretly dating a 14-year-old with her parents not knowing because the parents had already put an end to it. And he keeps this girl out all night. And then when the parents confront him, he comes back and kills the parents and takes off with her. And I know we don't know all the issues in the case, but this is tragic. And these are the type of things that happen when we don't hold to gospel values. And I know in that case that we're dealing with the homeschool family, but the point is, you know, one of the families was looking out for their child, for the daughter, and they were trying to protect her. And who knows what the other family was doing, because an 18-year-old is completely improper to be trying to date a 14-year-old, and these parents had the right to put an end to that, and he murdered them for it.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. And I mean, I just, you know, just this whole thing with these kids, you know, the teenagers, the violence, I mean, it goes on every day all over the world. But the lack of any type of respect for life is just gone. I mean, these kids, to them, human life is like, it's nothing. And it's sad because the thing that makes me upset is the liberals who are out there who are fighting this war in Iraq, saying that, you know, we shouldn't be there, you know, getting this evildoer, Saddam Hussein, who murdered thousands and thousands of people, are the same people who will cut out a little baby out of the womb without a thought. And that's what makes me sick about it.
Right. And we look at partial birth abortion, and you have to think that the Hitler's Dr. Mengele would be so proud of the AMA and of all the evil that this country does in the name of medical research. But the real truth about it is, and the real reason that the Supreme Court endorses it, is because it involves a lot of money. Just like slavery, people line their pockets on the blood of these innocent children. And the people in politics often profit from this, and they receive huge donations, and they get lots of clout by supporting this wicked stuff, and they don't care. They don't care about the children. But as Christians, we can be in the world, but we don't have to be as the world is. You know, we can follow Christ, and we can both be an example and a voice of what's wrong. Bob has always had this slogan of do right and risk the consequences, which is really an interesting statement. I used to think, what do you mean risk the consequences? But that's exactly right. You do risk consequences for standing up and pointing out when something is wrong, but that's what we're called to do. And unfortunately, on abortion, you know, the churches have not stood together. We haven't even gotten to the point where we can stand up in front of the church and say abortion is always wrong. But we should be teaching that, because we're sacrificing the lives of children in our own churches, and we're decimating families. And it's just, it's completely wrong. And I'm mentioning this because I've been asked to be the speaker for the annual March for Life that takes place in January for Colorado Right to Life. And I'm hoping that people in churches that listen to this show and elsewhere will try to gather a group of people from every church to come out. Because one thing we know that affects politics is when you gather a lot of people and you present their voice, politicians listen to that. And so it's something that I think is really important to do. And in the great civil rights movement that, you know, led to more freedoms and tried to undo some of the harm caused through slavery and racism, those people could stand up for themselves. You know, they could boycott the bus system. They could stand together. They could march. And yes, plenty of them were hurt, beat up. But in doing that, you know, they could produce a voice that up till that time had never been heard. But when we're talking about little boys and little girls murdered, we're the only ones who can speak for them. And some people criticize Bob, saying you speak too much about abortion. And he rightly points out, it's not me speaking too much, it's you speaking too little. We've got a caller, so we'll go to Jack from Centennial. Jack, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing great.
Yeah, I was giving you a call. Have you ever heard Colorado Inside Out with Peter Boyles?
I've been on the show.
Okay. Did you watch last night?
No. As a matter of fact, I know they were talking about abortion, but I didn't get a chance to see it. I'm hoping to see a copy of it one of these days.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I watched it, and I called up with a question.
Yes.
And the question I had for them was about Planned Parenthood selling body parts.
Yes.
And they didn't seem to, at least the woman that was on there with Colorado Right to Life, I can't remember her name, but she was, you know, she was on the pro-life side. Her and Sean Mitchell, they couldn't, she said that she's seen a list of, you know, pricing.
Yes.
For parts, but she couldn't really, you know, put a, you know, like, have a definite answer on if they sold body parts or not.
Yeah, well, they do sell body parts. In fact, a few years ago, someone at University Hospital leaked out a list of what university was paying for the body parts of aborted babies. And in many abortion clinics, they have what's known as a harvester. And in many cases, they can generate as much as $4,000 through a single abortion. So they're going to get $500 from the girl or from the girl's parents or in many cases from the government to kill this baby. And then they're going to generate as much as $3,500 from these parts. And this goes on day after day, hour after hour. And that's why when I'm talking about there's money here, follow the money. Mm-hmm. It's a lot more money than most people think is involved, and that's why there's such resistance to stop it. It's just a wicked behavior. And of course, there's also people that love the blood of the innocent, and they want to wash their hands in it.
Rich? Yeah, I wish I had more information. I just posed the question on there because I really didn't have it. You know, I knew that, you know, that they were actually they were doing that, but I didn't really have any, like, you know, concrete information that I could give.
It's incredibly disturbing, and a lot of people in the pro-life movement, you know, are sickened by it. I'm one of them. And,
yeah,
of course, Planned Parenthood and the other abortion clinics, they don't want you to know about this. So occasionally there'll be someone who changes their ways, who comes out of the abortion industry and speaks about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we get most of that information. You know, their records are hidden all the time. And in the case of the Kansas DA, who subpoenaed the records from Planned Parenthood, you know, they've been shredding the records. And everyone's waiting to see if the court's going to hold them accountable. But I dare say the court's probably just going to let them go.
Yeah, I'd love to bring it up with Peter Boyles again with some concrete information. But
yeah, and I, you know, Peter Boyles has stated many times that he's pro-life.
Yeah.
And having been on his show a number of times, I think that's probably true. And, you know, maybe I'd love to be on one of those roundtable discussions someday. Not that I'm an expert, and certainly the two that were on there are probably much more of an expert.
Mm-hmm.
But I do tend to go to the more despicable side that a lot of people don't want to talk about just because it is so wicked.
Yeah, the representative there was Sean Mitchell.
Yeah.
And he had a lot of information on the legal side.
Right.
You know, and then the woman from Colorado Right to Life just kept stressing that, you know, it was a human being that you're dealing with.
Right. It is a human being.
Yeah.
And,
you
know, as I read the Bible, I see that the Bible and the Christ placed the utmost importance on the children. And I believe the smaller they were, the higher their value, the more innocent they were. And it's predictable that the people who hate Christ, the people that want to say there is no God, would try to attack the most vulnerable in society.
Yeah, on the other side was Joan Fitzgerald. I don't know if you're familiar with her.
She's like, I know the name, yeah.
Yeah, she's part of, you know, the, I don't know, Colorado House or something like that. Uh-huh. And she was saying that, you know, there's no way that Planned Parenthood could have possibly done that, and they're a reputable, you know, organization. Of
you know, anyone.
Fine physicians. I'm like, but yeah. Obviously I wasn't on the phone, and right. I really didn't have enough information. I didn't want to bring up, but you could tell they were choking on it.
When
I said it. I could see their faces, which was kind of nice.
Well, and if I'd have been there, I would have certainly taken them on that, because anyone who murders innocent children for money and says they're doing it for the benefit of the family has to be held accountable. And, the guy in Kansas, his name is Tiller, and he's in Wichita. Mm-hmm. And that's the guy shredding the records.
Oh.
And, this guy is as wicked as they come. But someone to sit on TV and talk about, these are real doctors. In this country, we have laws against murder. Unfortunately, they're not simple laws like the Bible has. They're complex, and they tend to let murderers go. But basically, murder is illegal in this country, with the exception that if you have a medical license, then you can kill babies for profit.
So, look at Scott Peterson.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if he was a doctor, would he not have been charged in the murder of his unborn son?
Well, exactly. Yeah. And look at that law, because that law for Connor, Lacey and Connor, that law establishes once again, which has happened state after state, that the baby, which they like to refer to as a fetus, as if fetus means a blob of tissue. Actually, fetus means little one.
Mm-hmm.
But they, have established, many states have established, that this baby is indeed a human being, and yet you get back to the abortion issue, and all of a sudden they want to say, well, no, that's different. A mom has a right to kill her baby, and they do it under this false premise that it's her body. And, of course, we don't care about her body. If she wants to go in and have her hand cut off or her foot cut off, that's okay. We're concerned about the baby's body. You don't have the right to kill that baby. The choice you had was whether or not to have sex out of marriage. And once you're pregnant, you're a parent, and you need to accept that responsibility.
Yeah, what you were saying earlier about public education is, it ties right in with everything that's going on, because there was another woman there. I know her last name was Lori,
mm-hmm.
and you could tell just by the look on her face, she was just such a miserable person.
Right.
But, she was totally brainwashed by the system of public education. It was amazing.
Yeah, it's really terrible. Well, Jack, we're about out of time. Thank you for your call.
Right,
we appreciate it.
All right, good luck. Bye.
Thanks. And as I said, we're going to be doing tomorrow's show. We're actually going to be doing it now in the studio. If you want to call in, you certainly can. The number, once again, is 1-800-8-NYART. So, Rich, in the tragedy of these school shootings, and all the children killed, and all the death and destruction, what have we learned? What has society learned? What have the government schools done to make this a safer place?
Absolutely nothing, because it's still happening. And you know what? Kids don't have a vote. They don't have a voice. And it's just what I got when I find about selling the parts of the aborted babies is just unbelievable. And it almost lost my lunch on that one.
Yeah, it's really disgusting. And I'd like to encourage you, support this show if you can. You can make a donation through kgov.com, and you can look at the materials that are for sale. Thanks for listening.